Welcome back to Thrive in the Future. Short episode this week. A lot of my guests are saying, hey, let me get through planting, get back with me in May, and then I'll come on your podcast. In addition to that, I'm taking a permaculture business design course through Regeneration Nation, CR.com that I really like, and I'll cover a little bit more about that in the future. And it's Orthodox Holy Week, and Pascha is this Sunday, May 5th. So I'm kind of busy with that, and I have a go-live at work at the same time. So overall, I wanted to dive in and talk about how to grow your side hustle, and then I realized that I did an episode on this, episode 77, in April of 2023. And so I'm doing how to grow your side hustle 1 year later, some of the tips and things that I've learned. One of the first things to do to grow your side hustle is to identify what problem are you trying to solve. One of the things that I've learned that's really important is, are you trying to solve what you think the problem is, or are you actually trying to solve your customer's problem? Part of it is identifying who your customer really is and letting your customer define themselves. Let them decide what the problem is to some extent. For example, if I'm doing a permaculture consult for somebody's land, it's important to ask, what do you like to eat? Otherwise, I may put in some berries or trees or plants that they don't even like. If nobody likes horseradish in their family, then why plant horseradish? So if you identify your customer's problem and you come up with the solution, then you can sell the value of that solution irregardless of price. In addition to that, you want to niche down, go further and niche down even more and sub-niche to be an expert in that space. Quickly go to market, put together a MVP or minimum viable product and put it out there, see if there's interest in it, charge less for it as you're in beta. So this permaculture business design course, they are in beta. They're doing a couple rounds of testing. I was able to get it for cheaper. I'll hopefully get a link so that I can add this, and they've got another cycle coming up at the end of May. So if you do that, then you get feedback, you get real world feedback, and it's not just you living inside your own bubble and coming up with the ideas. Let your customer ultimately decide if they are your customer. So many people go chasing after customers. I've had with my trees, I've had a lot of people that contact me and they ask questions. And I go either one of two ways. I either go out of my way to go too far to try and win their business, or I'm like, oh, they're not interested in my business, and I cut them off right away. You've got to be sensitive to which way the wind is blowing. For I've had two customers so far that asked questions and they didn't sound like they were very interested. And I was patient and I answered their questions and they came back and then ended up buying later on. They were not interested at the beginning. One guy even came back and he bought $120 worth of chestnuts and trees last fall. So one of the things to note here is the sales cycle. And we don't hear about this very much anymore, but in the late 90s, early 2000s, I worked at a box company down in Wichita. My IT office, or cube, I guess, was down in the sales bullpen, and they had a poster on the wall that was from the 1800s, and it listed the steps in sales. It said the first time somebody sees your product, they don't see it. The third or the fifth time they see it, they go, "What? I'm seeing that blasted thing again. What is this?" And then by the 20th time, or the 50th time they see it, they're going to say, "I want that." And they'll either buy it themselves or direct their buyer to go and buy it. Sometimes it's frustrating because you feel like you're screaming off into the void, but it isn't really. You have to go through that process, especially if the people don't know you personally. And sometimes it's even worse if they know you personally, because then they're like, yeah. So use the permaculture principle, use your yield. Use your excess that you have, like at your farm. If you have excess, you could turn it into compost, you could turn it into chop and drop mulch, or you could take it and sell it. Say you have an excess of eggs. You could use it to make friends and win over enemies by giving them eggs and sharing with them. And most importantly, don't grift for the sake of grift, or people will easily see through you. So if you are talking to someone and you go into salesman mode and your voice changes, then that's totally uncool. For example, several years ago, a friend was in Amway, and we'd be sitting around playing video games or watching TV or something, and he'd say, hey, you want something to drink? And I said, sure. And he'd come out with an energy drink, an Amway-branded energy drink, and he'd say, try this. Hey, we've got some of this. Would you like to order it? And his voice changed. It's really hard to not get into that mindset and to keep from having that happen, especially if you have a compartmentalized life or a compartmentalized mind, to make sure you don't get into grifty mode or salesman mode. People see through that. So some of the tools that I use, you also want to use Google Trends and answerthepublic.com. So Google Trends, I got frustrated 1 year because I was like, I'm not making any sales on Comfrey. Well, if you go and look at Google Trends for Comfrey, all the normies are buying garden stuff the first week of May. The homesteaders, like you and I, are buying things in February and March, but the average person is searching for those things and then they buy them in May. Answer the Public is also a really good research tool. You can go over there and it will give you some ideas that you can use. So it's answerthepublic.com. So say I put in homesteading. It's going to come up with 65 questions that are showing up in searches and what's highly searched and what's average searched around homestead. It's like everything from where is homesteading legal? What does homesteading mean? How much water do I need to homestead? Things like that. So you could come up with this and then come up with ideas if you have writer's block for your blog, for your podcast, whatever. And it also has a section for prepositions. These are statements around homesteading. So it'll have homesteading to save money, homesteading events near me, homesteading courses near me, is homesteading a full-time job, is homesteading worth it? And then it'll have comparisons. Comparison section is from homesteading. What's homesteading versus commercial agriculture? What's homesteading versus tenant farmers? What's homesteading versus regular farming? What's homesteading in one word or two? What was homesteading like? And then things like prepping and homesteading. So you can see these are different ways to look at things. And then it will also have all of the alphabeticals of around homesteading. And then we'll have how much of a search volume it has around each of them. And you need to be able to tell your story. What makes you different than everybody else? Because we live in a price economy where everybody is buying things on price. But if you show them value and they see value in you, then that will take the place of price. So what's your story? If, take Grow Nut Trees, for example. If I just put out there, hey, I've got elderberry ready, and then someone is going to look at my price versus everybody else. But what sets you apart? For Grow Nut Trees, what sets me apart is that if I order especially chestnuts and hazelnut trees from the Northeast or the Northwest, they don't do well in Kansas. So my trees, my chestnut, my hazelnut, my elderberry are all adapted to the Midwest, not just Kansas, but the Midwest. So they've been grown here, most often from seed. Seeds have a memory. They remember where they thrived and they produced accordingly. So it's important to buy things that are local instead of buying something from, say, the Pacific Northwest, because that just will not do well in Kansas. So those are some of the tips that I have. One of the things that's also really hard that people don't like to talk about is business has a cycle. There's a startup, and then there may be a cool down. There may be periods or seasons of cool down. There may be times when it's time to divest, when it's time to end and move on to something else. Everybody goes, oh, well, this isn't as going as well, and you fight against it, and you fight against it. And sometimes those are the indications that it's time to look at something else. And sometimes you've moved on in your mind already, and you have to look at things and then reevaluate. So those are some of the tips I have to help grow your side hustle. One of the things I also want to cover is, how is this podcast meeting your needs? Am I talking about the things that you, as a listener, want to hear about? And do you have any other ideas for what you would like to hear about? Do you like hearing about the side hustle episodes? Do you want to hear more about homesteading? jump on Twitter, jump on our Thriving Community Group, and tell me what you think. Give me some feedback. You can join the Thriving Community Group at signup.thriveinthefuture.com, and I'll send you a link to the Thriving Community Group on Telegram, or you can contact me by email or by DM. Take care, everybody.